He loves us like the Lord loves us. His love's always there. What a Savior. I'd like you to take the Word of God tonight, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, as we stand to our feet. In honor of God's Word, 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. Begin reading in verse number 6. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. Paul, of course, is writing in his letter to Timothy, and he says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that thy will would be done tonight. Help us as we look into thy word. Give the strength that's needed. Help me, Lord, as I stand to preach. Lord, may I be guided by thee. Lord, may our ears hear what we need to hear tonight. We trust this time to you. We need you desperately. And I pray that you'll meet with us in a special, special way. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul, of course, is continuing his instruction to Timothy about preaching the truth to the church that's here at Ephesus. Paul's the pastor, young pastor. And he told Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. And we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. Put the brethren in remembrance of the times, of the trouble, and of the truth. And this is the responsibility of every Bible preacher in every generation. This is what the preacher is supposed to do. The Bible gives us the preacher's job description, and we find it in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. I'll read it to you, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And listen to this, the job description. "Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So the job description is to be warning every man, teaching every man, so that we can present every man perfect. And so we need to understand that when Paul was writing to put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that it's very important for preachers to preach the truth, for preachers to preach the Bible. Every generation needs Bible preaching. And all believers, every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and believe that the Bible is the Word of God, every one of us has a responsibility to bear the truth to the world. So not only is it a preacher's job description, it is the Christian's description, the Christian responsibility. And we need to understand tonight that the greatest thing that we have in this world is our influence. And if we lose that influence by not being Christ-like, then we'll never be able to teach the things that the Lord would have us to teach. We'll never be able to have the influence that God wants us to have in the workplaces, in our homes, in our communities, in our shopping places. We'll not have that. So God has given us influence, and we're to influence the world that we live in that they might desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So when we look at the text tonight here in chapter number 4, Paul's encouraging Timothy and all believers to practice what we preach. We say we believe the Bible, we ought to practice what the Bible says. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He gives us the instruction of what we should practice so that we can influence the world positively. This world needs some positive influence, don't we? We're living in a time where everything seems to be negative. But I want you to know the Lord is positive. The Lord's right. The truth will always be there, and the truth will always stand. So if we'll take our stand on the truth and we'll preach the truth and give the truth, then we can influence people positively. We can help people. We're to practice this. Now, to practice means when we do or engage in regularly, to make a habit of something, to do so repeatedly so that we can gain skill. It also means to work at, especially as a profession. Somebody that, you know, practicing physician. And I know a lot of you think they practice on you a whole lot. And you wish they'd get it right sometime, right? I always get tickled when I hear people use those terms. But our profession should prove our possession. We should practice what we preach. And when our profession proves that we possess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we're going to have the right kind of influence in the world. And we're going to help others. And these things are to be a part of our lives every day, regardless of what is going on, regardless of everything. If the world is falling apart around us, there are things that ought to be a part of our life every day. Regardless if times are good or times are bad, if we're feeling well or we're feeling poor, if everything's going great or if nothing's going right, there are some things that need to be a part of our lives if we're going to practice what we preach. And Paul's writing to Timothy here, and we need to practice, first of all, good doctrine. Good doctrine. Of course, doctrine is our beliefs and teachings according to the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But profane, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. So we see here that there is the thing of practicing good doctrine, professing good doctrine, putting to use what we believe about the Bible. What do you believe about the Bible? We need to learn what the Bible has to say. And then you can show it to others. What do you believe about salvation? How is a man saved? Well, you know, he joins a church. That's what a lot of people's definition would be. But that's not biblical salvation. As a matter of fact, church membership is not salvation at all. Well, he gets baptized in water. That's not what salvation is. That's not good doctrine. So what we have to do is we have to practice what we preach, but we need to be preaching the right things, and we need to be practicing good doctrine. We need to understand what the Bible has to say. Paul has already warned the church in Ephesus about false teachers coming in, and it's very important. Paul emphasizes to Timothy the importance of doctrine. He uses that word doctrine 8 times in this one little letter to Timothy. He's already told the church at Ephesus that trouble was going to be coming in. I'll read it to you. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter number 20, and Paul is writing to the elders at the church at Ephesus. He says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing," Paul says, "after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "I want you to know, I'm getting ready to leave." And when he leaves, he tells them, "I may never see your face again. You may never see my face again." It's a very sad moment in time. But he speaks to the elders at Ephesus, and he says, "This is what you've got to be careful of. When I leave, there'll be wolves that's going to come in. And there's going to be those from the outside that tries to come in and destroy this place. But I want you to know there's going to be those of you that rise up from the inside that's going to do the same thing. And you've got to be very careful." So what do? You hold to the doctrine of the Word of God. You measure everybody and everything up by the doctrine of the Bible. Does this man preach the Bible? Do they teach the Word of God? Are they practicing good doctrine? That's what he's talking about here. The things that Paul warned of were now taking place when he's writing to Timothy. And he's instructing Timothy to remind the believers what he once warned them about. The way to fight against this drawing away is to be nourished up in the word of faith and good doctrine. That word nourished means to be trained, or nurtured means to practice. Practice good doctrine. Nourished in good doctrine. Nurtured, trained in good doctrine. We'll not be nourished, we'll not build our souls on things that are not doctrinally sound. No church will be the right kind of church if they're not built on sound doctrine. Will not happen. It can't happen. This is why the sign gifts that we read of in 1 Corinthians, prophecies, tongues, and knowledge were done away with when we had the completed revelation, the Word of God. Because that was not necessary. It's not necessary now. We have the revelation of the Bible. We have God's Word to man. We need to understand this. But it's so sad to see that so many are leaving doctrinally sound churches, and they're going to churches because of emotion. Because, well, they shout over there. I want to tell you something. We must remember, we're not saved by tears. We're saved by truth. And it's not about tears that's what makes us grow. It's truth that makes us grow. And we need to understand tonight that the way to continue to grow in the Lord is through truth. Personal Bible study. The preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And those that are taught and have good doctrine. But not only are we to be nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, we're to refuse profane and old wives' fables. The word nourished means to take in good doctrine. But refuse means to put out. It means to kick it out. To get rid of it, to throw it away, profane and old wives' fables. Don't waste our time with fables and fairy tales. There are some preachers whose whole sermons consist of nothing but story after story after story after story. And while they may move you to some kind of an emotional decision, and while they may do something to make you feel really high or make you feel really low and really, you know, like really sad and make you want to cry, that's not Bible preaching. That's profane and old wives' fables. That's just a story. But good doctrine is Bible. And that's how people grow. You know, we don't need to waste time on a lot of the things that people waste time on. We don't have to be rude. But we don't need to take time with wives' fables and philosophies that's going to do no good. Just don't need to waste time on it, you know? If you're out knocking on doors and you're trying to speak to somebody and they want to get into some of those things, you know, you just don't waste your time with it. Stick to the truth. Practice good doctrine. Practice, secondly, godliness. Godliness. The Bible says in verse number 7, "And exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So instead of arguing with unsaved people over mystical things, the Bible says we're to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That word exercise means to be trained. It means to be practicing. Isn't that amazing? Practice what we preach. Practice godliness. We're to work at it. Godliness don't just happen in your life. You don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you're godly. It takes work. There's a lot of effort involved. Every day we are to work at it. The Bible says in verse number 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, it's not saying that bodily exercise is wrong, only that it's good for just a little while. It's temporary. And godliness, though, is good for all eternity, for now and for later. He goes on and says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it's not saying that bodily exercise is wrong. It's just saying it's going to have a temporary effect. But godliness is something that will follow you all along life's way. Now, when we talk about this, we need to understand that bodily exercise may be determined by physical abilities, but godliness can be a part of everyone's life. Everybody can practice godliness, from people that lives in a small cottage to people that lives in a palace, from a foot soldier to a commander-in-chief. If you know Christ as Savior, you can practice godliness with your life. Those in the pulpit and those in the pew are all to exercise godliness. We're to practice what we preach. Verse 9 proves that it's for anyone. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And then verse number 10 goes on and says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So as we practice godliness, there's going to be labor and reproach. Just like bodily exercise takes effort, godliness takes effort. And just as bodily exercise takes work and reproaches the body, godliness will also take labor and it'll bring reproach to your life. The reason we're to do it is because we believe and we trust in the living God, as verse 10 says. He's the Savior of all men because He died for all. Well, He died for all and He is the Savior of all men, then it's especially those that believe, only those who trust Him as their Savior are the ones that are saved. He's the Savior of every man. He didn't die for just a select few. He died for the world. So He's the Savior of all men. But only those who believe are going to go to heaven. Amen? And so that's why we do this. That's why we are to practice godliness. And once we trust Him and experience His grace, we should have a desire to exercise unto godliness. The Bible says in verse number 11, these things command and teach. If we're going to influence those around us, we must practice godliness. Paul says, command and teach these things, Timothy. So, good doctrine, we're to practice good doctrine, we're to practice godliness, and then we're to practice being a good example. The Bible says in verse number 12, Paul gets very personal with Timothy about his age. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Apparently Timothy was timid and was concerned about his age. Some people believe he was between the age of 30 and 40, very young man, I think. And Paul's telling Timothy here, you don't need to worry about your age, but prove the Lord by being a good example of all of what all believers should be. And he gives him a list. That word example means to make your mark. You prove by practicing. You make a mark on the world. And he's saying to Timothy, you worry about your age, but if you'll do these things, people won't even think about what your age is. They'll just see a godly believer that's practicing what he preaches. And in this list, I don't want to take a lot of time with it, but he says that be an example in word, and that's talking about his spoken word, that his speech should make people think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask him, the people you work with, do they hear you speak of the Lord? The people that live next to you, do they know that you belong to Jesus and that Jesus belongs to you because of the things you say? Are you being a good example in word? What about In conversation, he says to Timothy, in conversation, that's your lifestyle, that's your way of life. You prove Christ by the way that you live. Be a good example. Be an example of the believers in charity. In other words, love others. From the highest to the lowest, from the poorest to the richest, love people. Just love people. That's a good example. In spirit, that enthusiasm, that excitement that you have as a child of God. You know, on birthdays and on Christmas, what do you get? Anybody can tell me what you get on, besides a year older on your birthday? What do you get? You get gifts. Do you get excited about those gifts? Sure. Do you ever show other people what you got? You're excited about it, aren't you? You're so enthusiastic. I mean, you know, your spirit is, look what I got. And every day we have the greatest gift in all the world. And in that spirit, be a good example in spirit. We ought to be enthusiastic about what the Lord has done in our life. In faith, others ought to see you just believe in God. Be an example of faith. And by the way, faith produces faithfulness. When times are low, people ought to see that you're living by faith. When times are well, you're living by faith. Faith. Faith in God. Being a good example. Impurity. It's holiness. Now remember, this was Ephesus, a wicked environment. I mean, all around him was wickedness and ungodliness and lasciviousness and sexual impurities. And Paul says to Timothy, you need to be an example in your purity. And when you do these things, then people really won't worry about your age, your physical or mental capabilities. They'll just look at you and say, that's what I want to be like. If you'll practice what you preach. You know, every one of us would stand and say that we're not deserving of what we have, that we don't do good enough, that we don't do enough. I mean, if we were really honest about it, we would all stand and give a testimony. If we were just to be openly honest, we could talk about the goodness of God in our life, but if we were to talk about what we've done for the Lord, every one of us would say, I could do so much more. But really, what we need to understand is Paul is telling Timothy, we need to live. And it ought to be a blessing to us when others would say something like this, I sure would like to be like that person. Because I see something in them that I don't have. Even other Christians may look and say, I see a strength in them that I don't have. Because we practice what we preach. And that's what we need to do every day of our life. Practice what we preach. Practice good doctrine. Practice godliness. Practice being a good example. Practice these things. I think all of us would probably agree that the church, as far as a whole, it's so hard to incorporate so much into that, but the church has lost its influence in the world today. It's lost its influence. Some things I've been reading in the news lately, just the church has lost its influence. And a lot of times it's because churches have quit practicing what they preached. A lot of places are just a social gathering where they get together, you know. In some places they're practicing what they preach, but they're just preaching something wrong. It's the truth that'll set you free. But you must know the truth. And a church that's not a truth church is not going to help others to be set free. If we're going to have an impact on society today as believers, as individuals, as church, then we must practice good doctrine, we must practice godliness, and we must practice being a good example. Practice what we preach. I don't know what it's going to take in our country, in the world, But I think we all understand that we need revival. We need a movement of God. The only way that can happen is if God's people do the right things. We're not talking about, you can't look and say, well, we as a church need to do the right thing, because we as a church are made up of individuals. If individuals will do the right thing, it'll spread. Don't wait on somebody else to do what's right. You do what you need to do. And let God guide and direct you. Practice what we preach. May the Lord help us. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands. I want you just to ask the Lord, what do I need to do with this message? What do I need to do with what's been given tonight? And you make that decision. If you need to come forward, don't let the devil keep you back. If you need to go away from here and do something, you need to change something in your life, don't let the devil win and you lose that before you take care of these things and get on the right path doing the right things. Tonight, let's just respond the way that the Lord would have us to respond. Father, we give this time to Thee. May we be obedient. Pray these things in Jesus' name.